I have to say, I honestly sort of feel like you and Dave have become my buddies because I've been listening to the podcast a lot and just like picking up little golden nuggets of wisdom. And I listen to you guys in the car a lot, and I've been going back through the archives, and it's been really fun. Keep up the good work. People, are you ready?
And a big welcome back to the Endurance Hour podcast. This is episode 292. Thank you so much for listening. And that was Megan, a nurse who works full time. She's also obviously a triathlete, and she's doing what we're all trying to do, juggling this crazy thing called life and trying to have some fun at the same time. She recently purchased our Couch to Ironman training plan, and she was on a consult with Wendy recently. We're giving away 30-minute free consults for anyone who's interested who buys one of our programs on Training Peaks. And we also offer a 33% discount code to anyone who wants to buy one of those plans. And we tell that code to everyone on the podcast. We also put it on the endurancehour.com website. If you want to receive that, you go to endurancehour.com/33%. It's yours. Apply it to any program more than once. It's not a one-time code. It's a lifetime code. So Megan purchased that program. We're going to hear the consult between her and Wendy here in just a little bit. Obviously, we've been on a break for a while because of circumstances. I was out of town the week before doing some work in Houston, Texas. And then the week before that, or 2 weeks before that, I was in Korea for 10 days with my Taekwondo group. And then Wendy, last week, we were really hoping to catch up today, this week, before Wendy went off to Istanbul, Turkey, with her annual SOSFIT triathlon camp that she's been a part of for, I think, 3 seasons. This might be her 3rd season with them. And last week, she did the Boston Marathon. And I have her times. We're going to save the story and how the day went for when she gets back, or we might possibly talk while she's in Turkey as well. But Wendy had, to me, it was a great day. She finished in 3:43:44. I don't know how that compares to her goal time, but she was 12,804 overall. She was the 4,135th female, and in her division, she was 3.99. So congratulations to Wendy and everyone who took part in the 2019 Boston Marathon. We're looking forward to hearing from her on how the event went there in Boston, Massachusetts. Very envious of her, but also proud to everyone who qualified, because I know the qualifying criteria becomes more and more challenging. There's times that you have to use to qualify, and then a lot of people fall under that category, and so then they have to narrow it down to people who actually ran faster to qualify. We talked about it in one of our last or most recent podcasts. So we'll catch up with Wendy, hopefully in Turkey, if not after she gets back from her triathlon training camp over there. So with this podcast, I want to give you a little bit of update on some of the things that you can benefit from by listening to the podcast, much like Megan does, which is very encouraging and humbling to me. We've been doing this. I started this podcast in January of 2012, kind of as my way to give back as an athlete. Also, when I was part of the Timex multisport team, is one of the things that I could do to show my value to the team by giving maybe our athletes, our coaches, and other people a voice, and then also use the podcast as a way to share some of the interviews that I was conducting as a reporter for Ironman when I was going around the country, going to the full distances and also the half distances, and then when I was going to the World Championship races and commentating and reporting live on scene. I was using some of my pre-race and post-race interviews for the podcast content. It was really great. And speaking of Ironman, as you've heard recently, I am back within the fold. May 5th is my first time back working with Ironman and doing some live reporting. We're going to be doing something through Facebook Watch. And last year, apparently, I think it was 20 million. I think that was the number that I read, that 20 million people on Facebook Watch watched the Ironman World Championship coverage via Facebook. And so I guess the higher ups were recognizing the value of that platform, and now they're expanding it to some of the other races. And that's when I was contacted again saying, I know that, so I was told, hey, when they were discussing this, someone spoke up and said, you know who would be the perfect person for this? Dave Erickson. He's been with us before. He knows what he's doing. He's a triathlete. He's got a history in broadcasting. Let's have him out there. He'll do a great job. So I'm going to be returning to Ironman reporting at St. George here in a few weeks. And then the following week after that, Ironman Santa Rosa. And then I have a half dozen more races throughout the season, but I'll let you know what those are here on the Endurance Hour podcast. So I'm fired up for that. If I'm able to get any interviews, I will. But my job, my responsibilities there will be coverage before, during, and I think probably after the race. But I'll make some notifications probably on Facebook to follow us and where you can see that. But I'm pretty excited about it, and I hope you will be too, to maybe follow along and give it a thumbs up, watch it, share it, and make it a great season for Facebook Watch. And support your man back out there doing what I love to do. That was my first job as I transitioned out of TV News. In fact, I left TV News hoping to get a job with Ironman. Didn't have one, which is kind of risky. Ask my wife. She wasn't happy about it. Like, you're going to quit your job to do what? Oh, you don't have a job? Yeah. Anyways, we're still married. That's a good thing. With the podcast, and speaking of the Couch to Ironman plan that Megan took part in, I want to let you know that you can use that 33% discount code on any of our two dozen, I think, plans that we have. Our feature programs are these How to Swim Faster in 30 Days program, but we also have cycling, four different cycling made easy training programs, and every one of our plans has a video element to it. Half marathon, a marathon plan, and then we have beginner and advanced triathlon plans at all distances, ranging from 8 weeks up to, let me double check here, 16 weeks. And then if you go to the higher ones, the Couch to Triathlon, they go from 16 weeks to 32 weeks. And we talk about that. Wendy talks about that in the 30-minute consult on the purpose behind the Couch to Triathlon programs. And they go from Couch to Sprint, Olympic, Half, and Full. And we also have two other specialized, 70.3 Puerto Rico and 70.3 Coeur d'Alene. And I'm all about segues. Speaking of Coeur d'Alene, that race is coming up in, I think, 9.5 weeks. It's been on my calendar as one of those, you know, little carrots out there. If I can get to the point where I want to, if I'm fit enough to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm not there, not even close. Did my first bike ride of the year this week outdoors. I've just been very, very busy. That's partly why we've been missing some podcasts and consistency, whether I'm out of town, working. We're also moving into a new house. So that's been keeping me very busy, juggling a 1-year-old, childcare for that, trying to get some work done. Wife is off at work, comes home. We're trying to get some things prepared for the new house. So it's been a lot going on, and training, as you all know, well, you should know, hopefully, that takes a back seat to life, to real things that matter, and that's family, work, and trying to keep some sanity. And I'm slowly trying to find some time. For the longest time, most of this year, my goal has been to be active, not train, because I see those as two different things. Having an active, healthy lifestyle, physically active, versus training specifically for something. And I'm seeing if I can incorporate some, quote, training in these next 2 months. If I can, then I may go ahead and suit up and try my hand back at a half Ironman distance. But I know in my mind, because of my personality, I want to do better. But logically, I know that I won't have the correct fitness. And that's, I think it's a good lesson for many of you when you go into a race, is to have realistic expectations. And this, we've echoed this many times in the show. If you've never run, just for example, a 9-minute mile, then don't expect to run a 9-minute mile on race day. If your training never involves intervals, speed work, or running at an average of something like that, then humble yourself and think about, on race day, that's not going to be possible. I just don't have the fitness. I haven't trained myself Don't expect it. Same thing with the bike or the swim. Be realistic. Think about the day as the whole, not, oh my gosh, I have to go super fast here. It's a long experience, and pacing yourself through it, breaking it up into compartments. Okay, now I'm going to prepare myself for the swim, be smart about it, and then assess where I am in transition, get in the bike, follow your plan, and have a backup plan, and then a backup plan to that plan, because those are the plans that usually surface during a longer race, like a half or a full. Just a couple of things for me, to you, and also reminders to myself when it does come to that day, if I am out there deciding to race, is to not think that, oh, I've raced at a certain pace in the past, I can do it again. Well, not if you haven't trained, you can't. So be realistic. Also, if you don't mind, we have a pretty strong, we call an email list. We send out emails when we have, mostly just once a week. That's kind of our base, and almost always after a podcast. And in that email, which you can find on endurancehour.com, we offer up, or share with you, I should say, discount codes to partners that we have, that Wendy has partnered with throughout the years. So sbrsports.com, we have a 20% off your entire purchase there. We mentioned again the 33% off training plans on Training Peaks that we offer. There's a 33% off discount code for Blue 70 products. There's a Rudy Project Gear discount. In our latest newsletter, Wendy put in here how to get 35 to 60% off your Rudy Project Gear, including single vision prescriptions. So she's got one of those for a VIP code that you can benefit from. And there's Stride Running Power Meter, swimoutlet.com. So those things are all in the newsletter, and just sign up for it on endurancehour.com. You see that when you go to our website, you'll see on the right-hand side a number of logos or pictures and so on. One, you can sign up for a swim form video analysis. They are our Training Peaks programs and our newsletter sign up, which is a red newsletter logo. Click that, put your email in, and you will start getting emails only once a week. That's what we do, just once a week, usually on Thursdays or Fridays, because we do our podcast midweek. And this is episode 292. Okay, that's all I got for that. Hopefully bringing you up to speed a little bit on where Wendy is and where I am right now, and leading up to our feature interview. And if you're interested in becoming interested in being featured as a consult interview, you buy one of our programs, send us an email, say, hey, Wendy, Dave, endurancehour@gmail.com. I just bought How to Swim Faster in 30 Days. I'd love to get a free one-on-one consult with Wendy. How do I get involved? She'll contact you. We'll do it over the phone. She'll call you from her Skype phone number, and we'll record it and we'll share it in the podcast. See, when you do this, not only are you helping yourself by getting your questions answered and getting some coaching from Wendy, we can share that, and other people who are listening who may have similar experience, similar questions, or on a similar journey as you are can benefit as well. So it's a big win-win. So endurancehour@gmail.com, if you purchase any of our programs, we're going to offer that up, one free 30-minute consult, and that's what Megan is about. You're going to hear Megan's consult with Wendy. So Megan is a nurse. She's juggling working full-time, and if you know anything about nursing jobs, she works 12. It's kind of like a firefighter. You work 12 on, 12 off, or I guess they're 24 on. But she works 12 on, 12 off, and so on. And she was looking for what kind of program is going to fit her lifestyle and how she can adjust it. And so she chose the Couch to Ironman plan. And she's, it looks like she's in the Colorado area. And one of the things that, you know, she mentioned at the end of the interview, I think, is that you don't have to be perfect with your training. You might miss a workout, but that's okay as long as you are consistent. And I felt that was a very valuable tip there, being consistent and not being, you know, married to having to do every single workout that's on the page or described. If you're consistent, you're going to be putting the time in and you'll be prepared as much as possible. She's also a Peloton bike owner, which I am too. And so she was doing some of her training, first part of the 32-week program on the Peloton because it's fun and indoors. I don't know what time of year she was doing it, but that's a good way to do that as well. And she also talks about not being a strong swimmer. So all this is going to be in the interview right now with Megan and Wendy. It's about 30 minutes. On the end of that one, I'll come back and we'll close up shop. Here we go.
Hey, Megan, thanks for joining us on the Endurance Hour podcast and purchasing our Couch to Ironman program with a free Skype consultation. I'm glad you took advantage of it. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Great. Where do you live?
So I live in Denver.
Oh, maybe I knew that, but I don't think I did. Okay, so that explains why you might want to do Boulder Ironman.
Yes. Yeah. So I had purchased, I originally purchased the Couch to Ironman plan, and I sort of had my eye on the Louisville full Ironman. And I had just, one of my coworkers lives in Louisville, and I'm not a strong swimmer. And so the idea of a downstream swim sounded really appealing to me. And so I'd kind of like done the math with how long I had to get ready. And, you know, one thing we can talk about is just that my work schedule as a nurse sort of complicates my training a little bit. I don't have your typical like 8 to 5 Monday to Friday job. I work 12-hour days. And so it sort of limits the days that I can train. And but then when I started to look into how much it was going to cost me to get my bike out there and just lodging and, you know, the Ironman fee itself, and it all started adding up pretty quickly. And I thought, gosh, maybe I should do something that could be drivable to get my bike there and sort of save that expense. And so I ended up signing up for the Waco Half Ironman in October of this year. I have family that live there, so it'd be kind of a fun family weekend, and I can drive there from Denver. I think then I'd go for maybe the Boulder Full next year. And, you know, because it's just right up the road. I mean, that's like an hour away. And so that was sort of what I was thinking about, and just wanted to talk through, you know, I'm not sure if maybe the Couch to Ironman is the right plan for me. So any like guidance that you could sort of help me with to sort of sort through that would be awesome.
Right. So thank you for sharing all that information. I have a few things. So the Couch to Ironman is a 32-week program. The reason we created it is for people who literally have never done a triathlon and their first triathlon is an Ironman. I see that all too common lately. Yeah. You know, I actually did an interview with someone, or a question and answer session, a year or two ago. And that sparked me to say, there's so many people out there like you, because he shared everything that what he learned. He was so excited that he finished his Ironman, and he just wanted to share it with someone because he didn't have a coach. And so we talked about it, and it kind of sparked my interest to create the program. The reason it's 32 weeks is it takes you through the five main phases of training, where, you know, the first 8 weeks of this plan is, you know, preparing your body to actually train, meaning there's not much big increase in volume or intensity the first 8 weeks. It's just kind of getting you into a training groove and getting you ready to start building a base, building volume.
Okay.
You know, and then so that's phase two, is that base endurance foundation phase, which is the most, in my mind, a very important phase, especially training for an Ironman or a 70.3 distance, especially for a beginner or intermediate type athlete who doesn't have years and years experience like myself or another people. And then you go through a build period, which is more like race specific intensity. And, you know, really how you do that race specific intensity is how well the preparation and base phase went. as well as your current level of fitness and time available to train and all that. And then I take you through a taper peak, and therefore it's 32 weeks. There's a lot of programs out there, which we have also created, that are shorter programs that don't specifically take you through the longer phases of training. So it's for someone to ease back into a training consistency, training groove. And even if it's, you have a little bit of experience, you shared with me with doing a few half Ironmans, but you've had some time off. So, it's just you really want to look at, like you had mentioned in an email, the amount of time that we started you at with, it's 30 minutes to 60 minutes a day. I mean, I'm looking at the program now, it's really 30 minutes. And so for someone with your type of schedule, where you have, two, maybe 3 days completely off of training each week because of those long 12-hour, 15-hour shifts. My husband's a nurse, so 12 hours easily turn into 15 hours, I know. And you can double up, the other days. So we start you with one training session a day, and then maybe a second training session is the strength training. But you can easily split that up. Morning, noon, morning, night, noon, night, as well as do them back to back. I mean, the volume is fairly low that you could do a run and a swim. You can go run, go for a swim, or go for a swim, go for a run back to back. Just everyone's schedule is different. And so I think it's a good plan that allows you to get into that training groove again. You had mentioned not swimming much. And so, it's just, I think the main thing I'm trying to get across is it's a lower volume training, especially the first half. I don't think it's an intimidating program either. And, as the volume gets higher and higher based on your schedule, once you're in, you allow yourself that 8 weeks to just kind of get into some training frequency and consistency, then even if the workouts get longer, you'll still be able to manage it all because you've already developed some fitness and some frequency that you're going to be like, okay, maybe you cut off. Maybe instead of an hour and a half ride, you do an hour, 15 minutes. Or instead of, the longer day, maybe you're exhausted and instead of a 5-hour ride, you do a 4-hour ride. I mean, training is meant to be flexible and meant to fit into everyone's schedule. And so, I just think it allows for that flexibility. And the weekly videos that we have within the plan kind of explain a little bit about what I just talked about.
Yeah. I guess one thought that I had, and the Waco Half Ironman is in October. It's like the end of October. And we purchased a Peloton bike the beginning of this year, and I've really been enjoying doing some power zone challenges with that. And so like you said, the first 8 weeks of the plan are pretty low volume. And so, one thought that I had was, if I schedule out, I think on week 24 is when you're set to do a half Ironman. If I scheduled out the plan to end with Waco with my half Ironman, And then I'm thinking about starting to actually train for Waco the beginning of July and sort of continue with some of this power zone training in the meantime. So probably biking, 4 to 5 days a week. The convenience of the Peloton is it's in my house. So even if I'm home late after a shift, if I have the energy for it. So then I'd be, potentially jumping in the plan at like week 8. And so I just, I do have like a base of fitness. I mean, I've had the last couple of years off of the endurance races, but it's not like I've just been on the couch.
Right. Exactly. I'm glad you explained following the plan for Waco, because I thought you were going to follow the full 32-week plan for Waco. And I was going to suggest, since you're not doing a full distance Ironman, that you're not going to need the long bikes and runs as it's planned out, But everything else, you know, like the stuff Monday through Friday, I think is good for a 70.3 as well as a 140.6. The biggest difference is the weekend, your typical weekend long ride, long run, which you don't need 6 hour, 5 hour rides training for a 70.3. And so that's what I was going to suggest. But now that you told me, you're just going to do, you know, the first kind of half of the program leading up to the 70.3. I think that's a good plan. And also the first 16 weeks of this particular plan is getting you ready to do a half marathon. So again, making the assumption that someone could be coming off the couch who's never really done a 5K, 10K half marathon, I build more of a running, it's more running volume than it is biking and swimming volume because I scheduled a half marathon. And again, I say that in our intro video, kind of what the first 16 weeks are going to build up to. So, you know, for you, it's just kind of taking a look at that and saying, okay, I'm kind of already there with doing, you know, two swims, two bikes, two runs a week. Mm-hmm. And right now, so jumping into week, you know, whatever 17 or whatever you mentioned, 24, I don't even remember that. I think that would be okay because you've kind of already done the prep work, or it sounds like you're doing that right now with the Peloton. And the Peloton bikes, or people ride Zwifts and other smart trainers, you know, you just substitute, you look at the workout description that I gave you, which, you know, kind of breaks it down, you know, with some skills and drills for biking as well as running and swimming, but skills and drills. And then, you know, I have suggested intervals based on suggested heart rate, power, RPE, or pace zone, according to whoever wants to follow what kind of zone. And again, trying to make the assumption if someone's really coming off the couch, they might not even know what heart rate or power is. I do supply, you know, education and feed and, you know, information about the various types of training intensity someone could train for. Substituting a Peloton for the bike workouts that I have are fine, as long as I'm always skeptical, but as long as you're doing it the right zones, I think is important to do the right zones according to your current fitness. Whereas, you know, I think some people, depending on their experience, could jump into that Peloton bike and just start doing way too much intensity too soon. And they just have no base, and they have no frequency, and they have no really fitness, and they could get hurt even though it's on the bike.
Yeah.
They could get like burned out, like, oh, just everything is always, you know, training is just built up and all this intensity with frequency and duration for a newer type of athlete could get, could lead them to burn out, to just, you know, fatigue that if they would have started at a lower intensity wouldn't have happened, as well as technique. Some people don't know about technique on the bike. So that's also important, you know, knowing what low cadence is going to benefit you and knowing what high cadence drills are, how they're going to benefit you, and et cetera.
Yeah. So I have done, you know, as part of some of these power zone challenges, I did an FTP test, and to sort of calculate out my zones, and then the rides, you know, they sort of walk you through what zones to be in. And I'm a bit of a numbers nerd, and so I've enjoyed that. And like, I did the FTP test maybe back in like January. I did like a 4 or 6 week program, and I retested, and I saw like, wow, my FTP went up like 18%. And so I was excited to sort of see that gain and see my output numbers go up. And it all sort of, the convenience of having something in my house, and then sort of having a little more knowledge behind my training, gave me more confidence to potentially tackle a full Ironman. Because in the past, when I did, you know, I've done like 3 half Ironmans, and that was back in 2015, 2016. Like, I was just sort of going out and winging it. I didn't have a plan that I was using. I sort of made up my own plan that I followed, and I just sort of gradually built up the distance for each sport. Mm-hmm. And then I started throwing myself into some crazy brick workouts. It's funny, I've been listening to your podcast, and there was an old one where you're talking about brick workouts, and you're like, you know, I really don't think you need to do much beyond maybe a couple miles or maybe up to an hour run mm-hmm. off of a long ride. And I looked back and I was like, oh my gosh, I did like 40, 50 mile rides. And then I would get off and do a 10 mile run uh-huh. because I thought if I can do that and not die, I can get through this race. And when looking back, it's like, gosh, I had no idea what my heart rate was when I was doing that. And so I think, you know, maybe being able to pace myself a little bit better and just getting to know my body a little bit better, mm-hmm. Made me feel like this idea of doing a full Ironman, which, you know, a long time ago just felt like there's no way I could ever do that. I'm like, gosh, you know, I think I could do that. Like, I think I could do that. And if I just get more in tune with my strength and getting to know my zones or whatever, you know, I can really pace myself through a day to get through a race like an Ironman.
Right, right. So let me comment on that, Brick. You know, doing a 40-mile ride and 10-mile run, I think that's a valid thing to do for confidence. If you went into it and said, if I can do this, then I'm fine. I can do a half Ironman. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I think that's an important component of training is for athletes to do the physical part, the training that they need to do to feel mentally confident. Hopefully you didn't get done with that and said, I got to do it again because I don't feel confident. Because you don't want to do that kind of thing repeatedly over and over and over again. I think to do that once in the build-up phase, you know, in that build where you're like 6 weeks out is fine. You know, it's like doing it's almost like doing a race simulation.
Sure.
And, you know, practice the nutrition because your nutritional needs, you may be able to run 2, 3, 4 miles off the bike and feel fine. It's when you get beyond four miles that you're like, oh my God, I have the most GI distress I've ever had in my life. So we need to change something. But you wouldn't know that unless you did it at least once. So although I'm a fan of different distances of bricks depending on what the purpose is. You know, like if someone's prone to injury, maybe that's not good for them. If someone's, you know, high stress level, they're not sleeping a lot. Well, that's going to fatigue them mm-hmm. more than someone who has low stress level and low fatigue. And again, it gave you confidence. You were able to get through your half and now you're thinking about a full. So
yeah,
that's awesome. Regarding a full distance living in Colorado, so many people I know from Colorado go to Arizona. So it's definitely a very popular Colorado race Ironman to attend. And it's, you know, you could drive there and even if you fly there, it's really cheap. I definitely think that's a good first one. For me, I'm going to say it's flat, even though people say Beeline Highway isn't flat. It definitely is one of your flatter Ironmans. And, you know, if you're someone that likes to train a higher volume in August, September, October, that's a great one to target. Uh-huh. Coming from Colorado, generally the weather is pretty good that time of year. It's probably the best time of year to actually want to be outside on your bike is in the fall. But you could still experience some winterish type weather as you're prepping for Ironman Arizona. Now, likewise, prepping for Ironman Boulder, you know what the weather is right now. I heard it snowed and rained still in April.
Yeah, it did.
In April, so
we
you know.
We got jumped on yesterday.
Yeah. I think it's even tougher to train weather-wise. Even though I train indoors and I'm fine training indoors no matter where I live. Training for Boulder Ironman living in Colorado, the downfall is springtime in Colorado is the wettest wintery-ish months to train.
Oh, that's true.
And it could be really frustrating. I know from experience, but more so from athletes that I coach, that they're like, oh, you know, I can't get out on the bike. For people with flexible schedules that they can, you know, work from home and can drop everything on the first nice day, that's different. But if you're like, mm-hmm. I can only train on the weekend and it right. always rains or snows in March, April, and May, that's definitely tough to do. So you want to make sure okay. you, as you're planning, that you look into making sure, do you want to be training indoors for your first Ironman in Boulder, because you're going to be training a lot indoors on those longer days.
Oh, no, I hadn't even thought of that. And so, I guess like, what would be your comparison of, you know, Boulder as a first full Ironman versus Tempe as a first full Ironman?
Boulder, you live there. You could train the course as much as you want to. You can train the course.
Yeah.
You know, you can get there out this summer when you know the weather's nice and you can start training on right. the course, assuming it's not going to change. You know, the bike course has changed 4 or 5 times, but it's generally, mm-hmm. it's generally the same course, even though it's changed yeah. slightly. So, you know, the course, that's a huge perk. It's local, it's cost effective. It's not going to cost you much money. You don't mm-hmm. have to stay in a hotel if you don't want to, but sometimes it's nice
right.
to at least the day before. So many friends and family, you live there, they're going to support you. Mm-hmm. You're going to just run into a ton of people. I go back every year and I watch. I live in Georgia yeah. now. Oh my God. Like, just like, I have the best weekend ever, because yeah. I'm like, everyone yeah. I know is at Boulder Ironman. So I don't have to make plans right. to see anyone, cause I'm going to see them as a spectator or as a volunteer or as a race yeah, participant. Cool. So it's a really high yeah. energy race, but it's just the weather leading up to it and getting in the training outside that most people want to do is difficult.
Okay.
As far as like the challenge, you know, there's 3 to 4,000 feet of elevation gain on the bike. I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's a relatively easy, moderate course. And mm-hmm. I'm talking on the bike as well as the run. The one difficulty of the run is like last year, the run is exposed to sun. There's no shade. So
yeah.
it was extremely hot and dry last year and people were dropping out on the bike yeah. as well as the run. So yeah. all in all, it just goes back to weather in Colorado is sketchy.
Yeah.
You could get a June cold, blustery day, which wouldn't be, in my mind, appealing for an Ironman either. I went and watched mm-hmm. Ironman Louisville last year, and they had rain and such cool temperatures. If I was racing, I might have just said, no, it's not. I just don't want to expose myself to these weather elements. It's just not my type. And I've done enough Ironman yeah. that I wasn't trying to prove anything.
Right.
You know, whereas if your goal is just to finish, then you're going to do it in rain or shine. So I think weather is always something to look into, but it's not definitely the final say. Whereas Arizona is known to be a beginner friendly course because it's generally cooler, but mild. It's generally cool and right. mild, generally sunny, but not hot. The water's generally flat, meaning there's not really a lot of turbulence in Tempe Town Lake. You're gonna get exposed to wind because it's dry heat in Arizona. There's no shade. So
right.
when you're out there on the bike course, it's always windy. But if you know that,
yeah.
who cares? You know, you train in Colorado. Yeah. It's windy in Colorado.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I've done the half Ironman in Boulder twice, and it was just, I mean, because I think basically the difference between the half and the full is like you're just doing more loops for the full, and at that run course, there is zero shade, and there was like, it was so hot. And there was just no relief. And I remember just looking up at the sky and like praying that these clouds would somehow get over uh-huh. in front of the sun, because it was just, there was just no relief from it. And so you were just grinding it out and like sweating and exposed. And I lived in Tucson prior to Denver for like 10 years. And so, you know, thinking about that kind of dry heat and, but I mean, November in Arizona can be really nice. And so I guess I hadn't necessarily thought as much either about, you know, just taking into account weather leading up, you know, a few months before the race when you're really going to want to be like outside on your bike? What time of year do you want to be doing that? So I feel like those are really good things to sort of take into consideration. And then I had even seen too, some reviews of Boulder versus Tempe. And, you know, when I looked at it, and then some courses, it looks like your run might be like a 3-loop run, whereas other ones might be like a 4-loop run. And I'm thinking, gosh, mentally, like, could I get through? I'd rather have like less loops to sort of grind through. But then people have given some feedback, like they loved Tempe because they got to see their family and their friends who were there supporting them so much more often, because right. it was more loops.
Definitely,
and I,
definitely.
You know, I hadn't thought of that either. I thought, gosh, that would be super encouraging. And I didn't think about, you know, if I'm out there for realistically, I'd probably, you know, the half Ironmans that I did, I was like 6.5 hours. And so if I'm doing a full, I'm probably going to be somewhere in the 12-13 hour range. And, you know, to be out there on your own for hours on end and not see anyone that you know, like, what is that going to feel like? What is mentally, or just getting that encouragement? So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, I mean, that just having people around is important, especially your first one. So my very first one was 1997. It was in Kona.
Uh-huh.
Never been there. I flew out there like 10 days before the race. I was a graduate teaching assistant, and one of my students had a place for me to stay. I had no clue. Her neighbor picked me up from the airport. It was the first time flying with a bike. I mean, there was a lot of firsts that I did that week. And I didn't know what I didn't know. And my dad flew out the day before the race, so he was with me at the finish line. But the whole time, in the moment, I mean, I guess it's my personality. I'm I've always been a solo act. I didn't know. I'm like, I was thankful that he was there, and I was grateful that he came out. But I felt like I didn't ask him to come out. He said, well, someone's got to be there to take care of you when you finish. I didn't know what that meant. Like, okay. I didn't know I would need someone to take care of me doing after an Ironman. I was just really young and naive, and 28 years later, I'm still doing it. So So it is nice to have people there, you know. So fast forward to 2018, I did Ironman Chattanooga, and I didn't have any. I knew some people who were doing the Ironman, but I went there by myself. And I really enjoyed that experience, kind of finishing, being by myself. No one was waiting for me. I got to do, you know, just I was okay. I was healthy. I didn't need someone to take care of me that year. Other years I've been in the medical, so I've needed people to take care of me. But it was nice to just kind of finish, just relax, be by myself, gather my belongings, gather my things, wait for some of my friends that I found that were racing. And then I went back to my place, you know, called my family, told them how I did. And I had another different experience being by myself. But definitely for your first one, you need that support. You need the Sherpas.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, cool. Well, I feel like this helps a lot just sort of to wrap my mind a little bit about what training would look like for me with my work schedule. And like, it seems more doable to have, you know, 2 long days. And that, you know, I've got my 3 days at work that are long, and then really on those other 2 weekdays, doubling up, it's good to know, like, I can double up a run and a swim, or I can double up a swim and a ride, and whether I split them up back to back versus I hadn't even really thought about doing one in the morning and one in the evening and giving my body some time to recover. And so I feel like that just, like, because I had sort of written out the plan, like the time on some graph paper, just to sort of get it visually. I like the Training Peaks, the setup they have with the calendar, but I like just sort of having it all a snapshot on one piece of paper. And so I think like that seems doable for me, and just sort of, I think maybe using this year to sort of get back into things with
doing the Waco 70.3 and just getting back on all three disciplines. And then maybe next year, either kind of thinking through whether it would be Boulder in June and all that would entail leading up to it versus like Tempe or something like that in November, where that might just weather-wise and timing-wise and everything, maybe that would be sort of a better fit. Yeah. But I'd have time to figure that out, and in the meantime, just continue sort of building a good base of endurance and give me some time to work on my swim, because it's definitely not my strong suit. So
well, you know, you can always send me a swim video for analysis.
Yes, yeah, I think I'm probably gonna, once I sort of get through this kind of training that I've been doing on the Peloton. I have a good friend who. She's a swimmer, and I know she'd be more than happy to record me so good. I can send it to you and get some feedback. So I think that would probably go a long way too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So just ending it this with, of course, if you have more questions, let me know, but it's always best to fit training around your life for longevity in the sport, fit training around your life and try not to fit your life around training. And when you miss a workout, let it go, you know, unless or make up a missed workout on your day off. So if you're going to take an unscheduled day off due to life, if you have a scheduled day off, try to make up a missed workout.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. It's a good reminder, because I can be a bit of a perfectionist. And so, you know, like missing a workout, you can sort of beat yourself up for it a bit. And so it's, I think sometimes it's good to be reminded that you can just have some grace with yourself. And
totally.
At the end of the day, as long as you're being consistent, one workout isn't going to make or break, you know, your race or,
exactly.
Well, and I have to say, I honestly sort of feel like you and Dave have become my buddies, because I've been listening to the podcast a lot and just like picking up little golden nuggets of wisdom. And I listen to you guys in the car a lot, and I've been going back through the archives. And
that's nice. Thank you.
It's been really fun. Yeah, it's been really, really fun. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. We appreciate your feedback.
Well, thanks again to Megan for taking time out to talk with Wendy. And thank you for listening to our podcast. I feel like you're part of our family as well. So Megan, thank you so much. And good luck with your training. And I hope to hear a follow-up on how your race went after race day. So if you want to be featured as a free consult with Wendy, buy one of our programs and then send us an email. Let us know what program you got. And endurancehour@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your story, how you got started, what your journey is, where you are, and what you're hoping to accomplish. That's all I got for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being a listener to the Endurance Hour podcast since 2012. Coming up on 300 episodes. It's hard to wrap my head around that, but I appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time out to share your ears with us. How's that? Okay. For Wendy Mader, I'm Dave Erickson. Have a great week of racing, training, or recovery. Hope to see you back here next time. Adios.
Don't let me hear you say life's taking you nowhere.
Angel,
come love, baby. Look at that sky, life's begun. Nights are warm and the days are young.